Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber of Bethel Church in Tuppers Plains, Ohio, where our mission is connecting people to God. Welcome to our podcast. I'm very excited to share the Word of God with you today, because according to Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I trust this message will increase your faith as you listen to what God has for you today. God bless and enjoy. And we're going to pick up where we left off, talking about the wonderful names of God. There's 15 different names that I'm going to be looking at from Hebrew names, the Old Testament. And the Hebrew names tell us about the character of God. And it's really important that we understand that, you know, the world likes to talk about, and the church likes to talk about, the love of God. And it's awesome. God's love, God's grace, God's mercy. It's all part of who God is. But God is also a God of wrath and judgment when it's necessary. It's His last resort in regards to people, His people, and the world. The Bible says that, don't think that that God is slow in His judgment. It's just that His long suffering. He suffers long for us. And thank God for those of us who are under the grace of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus, and we've received the grace of God through Christ. Putting our faith in Him that He is very long-suffering for us. And He teaches us and He trains us and the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And the Word of God comes alive to us and in us. And that's how He teaches and He trains and He disciplines His people. But one day, we all know, the wrath of God is going to come upon this earth. It's going to happen. If you read anything about the Old Testament prophets and Revelation, you know that God is going to come and judge this world. There's going to be wrath of God poured out on mankind because they refuse to accept God's plan of salvation. And they turn from Him. But for us, we can learn and we can understand and we can grow in the things of God. And we can draw closer to Him. And we can move away from the world and the things of this world because we have such a compassionate, loving God that is full of grace. And the last thing He ever wants to do is judge us for sins. Jesus took care of that for us. Hallelujah. And yet at the same time, we know that God requires a certain amount of holiness out of His people. And He requires us to walk in that. And that's one of the things that we'll find out in regards to His names, the names that we're going to be looking at. He is a holy God. And the Word of God's very clear. Be ye holy even as God is holy. Holiness is not something that we can work for. Hallelujah. Holiness, righteousness is imparted to us. Praise God. And when we walk in it, we walk in the fruit of the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit fills you up, you have the fruit of the Spirit that just overflows out of your life. And it's not one fruit. You can't have one fruit and not have the others. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Every one of the things that are mentioned there, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, you know, all these things are the fruit. Now, does that mean that we do not make mistakes and fail sometimes? Absolutely, we do. Thank God for His grace. Then we come back under that grace. But that fruit is supposed to be manifest in our life. And other people should be able to see it. You know, it should be ripe. It should be luscious. They should be able to pick it from us and see it. It's delectable. That's how we draw people to Christ. We don't do it by Bible thumping. We don't do it by telling people they're going to go to hell. Although that is something that's going to happen to millions of people. They're going to go to a place. But our desire is to rescue them from that because of the grace of God. We know that we have this mandate from the Scripture to rescue as many people as possible from hellfire, because that's where they're headed. So how do we reconcile this understanding of our God being a God of judgment and our God being a God, on the other end, a God of mercy and grace and love? What we have to do is recognize that He is a sovereign God. He makes His decisions. It's not based on human emotions, human feelings. It's all about our living God. And the names of God are so very important for us, these Old Testament names, and there's hundreds of names of God in the New Testament. So based on what I've been reading, I did not go through the Bible and calculate how many names of God there are. So I just want you to know that. I'm telling you what I read. Someone else said there's hundreds of names in the Bible pertaining to God. But the 15 that we're going to focus on are very important for us to understand God's character. God's name and names tell us so much about Him. A mother walked by her little boy's bedroom one night, and she heard him say, "Andy, please forgive me of my sins." That alarmed her, so she went in and talked to him a little bit. She said, "Who are you praying to?" He said, "Andy." "Andy? Who's Andy?" "Andy is God's nickname." She said, "How in the world did you figure out that Andy is God's nickname?" And he said, "Well, that's what that song we sing at church says. In the garden, He walks with me. Andy walks with me. Andy talks with me. Andy tells me I am His own." See, his nickname is Andy. You know, believe it or not, children sometimes believe that stuff. They get a little confused about all these things that we take for granted. But as we study the Word of God, we find out that God does have various names in the Bible. And the first one we looked at was Adonai. It means Lord. Is great, and that our Lord, Psalms 135 verse 5 says, "For I know that the Lord is great and that our Lord is above all gods." There's three different Hebrew words used there. Jehovah or Yehovah, Adonai, and Elohim. And they all describe God, the God, our God. Adonai means Lord. It's a proper name used for God. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 30, it says, "Behold, two men sitting by the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David.'" Now, of course, this is a Greek word, kurios, but it's equivalent to the Hebrew word that is used, Adonai, to describe a master, a lord. You see that? Based on the context of that, how this word is used, you can understand that it is talking about various things. It can be talking about human rulers. It can be talking about idols, false gods. It can even... It can even be talking about the living God. It's a title of honor, expressive of respect and reverence with which servants greet their master. In Philippians 2, 10 and 11, this is just kind of a review, so you'll have to forgive me. I don't have all my notes with this, but Philippians 2, 10 and 11, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under earth. And that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord, Master of our life. Lord and Master. So the second name that I want to address is Jehovah or Yehovah. In Exodus 6:3, it says, I appeared unto Abraham and to Isaac, unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty. By my name, Jehovah, was I not known to them. So he appeared to Abraham and he said, this is a name that I'm appearing to you. I want you to understand who I am. The King James Version of the Bible translates this Hebrew word as Jehovah four times, and Lord 6,510 times. The term Lord really does not do this name justice. Because you see, Jehovah means the existing one. It's a proper noun which is a reference to our deity, our God. You see, he's more than Lord in our lives. Because without him, we wouldn't even exist. You have your very breath. You have a spirit in you because he spirited, he placed that inside of each and every person. You're alive because he exists. Otherwise, you would not be. Nothing would exist. And yes, God spoke the world into existence. I don't care what the evolutionists say. I don't care what Darwinism tries to teach us. The reality is, God spoke the world into existence, and we are all alive because our God lives and has lived and will forever live. There was no beginning and no end to our God. He's the existent one of all creation. Now, calling him Jehovah is a bit controversial with the Jews because they have a tradition to never write or speak the name of God. So it's abbreviated or known as a tetragrammation of his name, which means it's incomplete, doesn't have the vowels in it. Genesis 2:4, this is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord, Jehovah, God, Elohim, made the earth and the heavens. The name Jehovah was found in our English Bibles is the tetragrammation of this word Jehovah or Yahweh. And according to Jewish tradition, it was that word was taken and then some vowels was placed in it from Adonai and other words, Elohim, in regards to creating what we know as Jehovah. However, there's a researcher by the name of Nahemi Gordon, a Messianic Jewish scholar, and if you'd like to do a little bit of research, you can go to his website and check this out. Nehemias, wall.com. Nehemias, wall.com. And he will, you can search this out for yourself if you're interested. It doesn't really matter because we don't really, it's really not necessary that we know the exact way to pronounce God's name. Although, you know, we try. But through his research that he discovered this, that the rabbis have what he called a conspiracy of silence. Because the name is never written or spoken except when it is passed down to certain disciples every 7 years. He said a book was written in 1220 AD describing an elaborate ceremony where the rabbis passed on to this chosen to their chosen disciples the full name of God. The book was published in 2004 in Hebrew. It's never been published in English. Jehovah is, according to him, is the proper way to pronounce that name. Most scholars believe that this name means he brings into existence whatever exists. And that's exactly what I was saying about the existence of who we are and what God has brought, what God has created in this world. In Psalms 83:18, it says, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. Now, as we look at this, we have to recognize that Jesus said some things that are very interesting. Jesus spoke about his pre-incarnation existence in his prayer in John 17 in two different places, verse 5 and 24. Verse 5, he says, and now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. In verse 24, he says, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Now, this is a bit of a mystery for all of us. How is it that Jesus is born in the flesh, but yet he existed before the foundation of the world? He said himself in John 1:3, all things were made by him. Or John 1:3 says this, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So he was there when everything was created. And I know there are those who promote the idea that God is one and Jesus is one and that you can't separate the three, that there is no Trinity. But how else can we explain the fact that Jesus prayed to the Father when he walked on the earth? How else can we say, how else can we explain that Jesus said, I and the Father are one? And he told people to pray to the Father in his name. So we have to, when you do a thorough search of the Word of God, you have to embrace this idea of what we call the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it's not something that we can explain readily. It's just something we have to accept. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And they're co-equal. And they're powerful. But one of the things that we know for sure, that we have been given the name of Jesus, which is above every name, to stand against the principalities, the powers, sickness, disease, and anything. Can I explain all this? Can I explain why we pray for some people and they're not healed? We pray for others and they are? I cannot. I don't have all the answers for that. I wished I did. I wished I could stand up here and tell you. We know that faith is a very important component in that. Without it, we can't please God. But we also know that we are human and we are weak. So what do? We believe that Jesus is God. God in the flesh. To fully appreciate what Jesus is saying about being one with the Father, we have to go back into the Old Testament again. That's Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Referring to the Messiah when he came, Jesus. He's referred to as the Father. He's referred to as the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. These are all titles that we recognize that Jesus, when he walked on the face of the earth, he was God in the flesh. There's another interesting scripture that was given 700 years before Jesus was born in Isaiah. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. He has already become our salvation. What I want you to take away from this is that he is the absolute unchangeable one. The existing, ever-living, self-existent, unchangeable, almighty God. And no matter how we pronounce his name in the Old Testament or the New Testament, Yeshua in the Greek or Jesus in English, it doesn't matter. What matters is that we recognize who he is, and we recognize that these names, whether we pronounce Yahweh, we sang that song this morning, Yahweh. It's an awesome song. It's actually Yovehaveh, or with a more Jewish accent, which I don't have, so I can't tell you. I can't put this on it. But the important thing, he is the Alpha and the Omega. God, Jesus, Holy Spirit has always existed and will always remain. He has no beginning and no end. This is what he was explaining to Moses when he said, I am that I am. Exodus 3:13, then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the Lord of your father has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Verse 14, and God said to Moses, I am, this is New King James, I am who I am. King James says, I am that I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. I am walked the face of the earth. I am healed those who are broken and diseased and lame. I am healed the brokenhearted. I am showed himself to be the Messiah. I am is still doing the same thing in the lives of people today. He was saying to Moses, I am the existent one. The name makes it very clear. God has always existed. No beginning, no end. Yovehaveh is our God. Yeshua is our God in the flesh, our Savior. And Jesus, as part of the Godhead, we are one day going to fall down in front of him and worship him. Yeah. And let me make it perfectly clear. If he is not God, then that will be heresy. But the Bible tells us that's exactly what we're going to do. Fall down in his presence. Because he's Almighty God. King of kings. Lord of lords. Everlasting Father. Prince of peace. In John chapter 8, verse 56 through 59, says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then Jesus said to him, 'You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?' Jesus said to them, 'Surely I say to you, before Abraham was, I am.'" It was making reference to the name of God that was given to Abraham. I am that I am. Before Abraham existed, I existed. That's what he was telling the Jews. Now, some would say today that Jesus never claimed to be God. I beg to differ with you. It just takes a cursory study of the Word of God, and you'll find out that he did claim to be Almighty God. Because when he said that, he was making himself equal with God, and they said so. And because they believed that, in verse 59 it says, "And they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so they passed by." They were ready to follow the law and stone Jesus because a man was making himself equal with God. They believed he was calling himself God. There is no doubt that Jesus is our God in the flesh. In John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He was in the beginning with God. And then verse 14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And then in John 10:30, he made it perfectly clear. "I and my Father are one." Completely clear. Yahweh is the eternal, self-existent God who came to earth as a human, with human attributes, with human emotions, with human feelings and human hurts and pains. And he died on a cruel cross in our place. He shed his blood. He gave up his body. He shed his blood so that our sins could be forgiven. And he spent 3 days in the grave just to show that he was completely dead. For those who say that he swooned on the cross and was put in the tomb and was revived are very ignorant of what a crucifixion is really like. It was cruel. And it was designed by the Romans to make sure that the person hanging on that cross was completely dead when they took them down. There has never been an example that you could read in history where someone survived a crucifixion. Doesn't happen. And Jesus did not survive it. He died. But praise God, on the third day, he came back to life. He defeated death and hell for us. He came to life and he proved that he was God in the flesh. If you've made Yahweh, Yeshua, the self-existing one. You're Adonai. You're Lord. You have eternal life springing up inside of you. It's exciting to know that. We have something important to share with people. Something to share that can change their life. If you've never made Jesus, the Eternal One, your Savior, today you can do that. But I want you to know something. If you have Christ as your personal Savior, eternal life, He's a self-existent one, and He has imparted eternal life to you. And eternal life is not something you're expecting in the future. Eternal life lives inside of you. Holy Spirit is there. And because of the Holy Spirit, we've been given down payment for the eternal life that we're going to have. You're not looking for it. You have it. And yes, we're going to experience it in the future. But eternal life is now and will forever be yours because of our Lord and Savior. Jesus said in John 6:54, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life." He didn't say you're going to get it. He says you have it. And I will raise him up. Here's the fulfillment of it. Because it's inside of you. And I will raise him up at the last day. Hallelujah. We're looking forward to that. But we can walk with eternal life in us each and every day. Because it's there. If you're Christ, it's in you. How many saw the movie Jesus Revolution? Anybody? A lot of you did. Okay, great. I think the movie just reminded me that our God is an eternal, self-existent God. And when we allow Him to stir that eternal life inside of us, it touches other people. It changes people. When we get away, when we move away from religious dogmas and we begin to move into areas where we allow the Holy Spirit to deal with people individually and love them and embrace them and change them. I'm not saying you come to Jesus and you live your life any way you want. I'm talking about a true experience with the Lord that changes you from the inside out. But when we see that, when we experience that, other people see it and other people experience. That's why I believe that what we need in the church more than anything right now is a revival. We need to be revived. And then when we get revived, the world will have an awakening because they'll see the goodness of God. That's what needs to take place. Forty-four years ago, on a Wednesday evening at a Bible study, Tammy and I bowed our knee to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He took two party kids and He immediately made changes in us. So I want you to know, sanctification is it's two things. It immediately takes place in your life and it's a process. But if you do not have some immediate changes, something's wrong. He immediately made changes in our life. And we didn't want to reject our friends. We had good friendships with some good people, had good hearts. They just liked to party. So that first weekend, after that Wednesday night, we went back to our party place at Royal Oak. I think it's called Country Resort now, but Royal Oak was a hangout place for us. And we'd go down to one of the campsites that no one was camping in, and that's where we would party. And what Tammy and I realized when we went there was that, you know, we had changed. Immediately, there was a change that took place inside of us. We no longer fit with that party atmosphere. And we still cared about those people, and I think they still cared about us, but there was something different. Our life was different. So I think that was probably the last time that I can remember that we really went and hung out with that crowd of people. And my prayer has always been that God would touch their life and make changes in their behavior and move them back into, some of them knew who Jesus Christ was. They wasn't walking in that faith at that time. My good friend Karen, sitting back there, was part of that party crowd that we hung out with. Praise God. Yeah. But what I'm wanting to share with you this morning more than anything is that eternal life that comes, that wells up inside of us, changes us from the inside out. And we begin to walk in new ways. And we begin to make changes in our life. And God begins to deal with habits and hang-ups and issues that we have. And as long as we listen to Holy Spirit, God will make some incredible changes over the years in our life. 44 years ago, Holy Spirit made incredible changes in me just like that. But over those 44 years, He has been dealing with my heart, and He continues to deal with my heart to conform me and shape me and mold me into the person He wants me to be. Amen. In the image of Christ. Hallelujah. And I can honestly tell you, standing right here before you this morning, I'm not the same person I was 44 years ago. There's a power that has been working inside of me to shape and mold me. And you all know me, and you know I'm not perfect. I make lots of mistakes. But our God is so good. When I look around and see the things that He has done, when I experience the life that He has given me, the church that He's allowed us to be a part of, the body of Christ, the good people whose desire is to do nothing but serve the Lord. I'm so blessed to know that we have a group of people in this, this what we call church, this building right now, or that come here. Their desire is not to build a kingdom of their own. They're not looking for recognition or notoriety or fame. I believe you're all here because you want the kingdom of God to be established in this earth. You're crying out for the power of God to move in your life. Our God is awesome and mighty. And I believe that God has some great things in store for this group of people. The years are going to go by. I want you to know someday, Pastor Rob's not going to be here. Some of you are not going to be here. That's just part of what life is. We live, we die, we move on. That's that eternal life that we're looking forward to fulfilling. But I believe we're establishing a legacy here at Bethel that's going to continue. A legacy of love, a legacy of goodness, a legacy that reaches out into the community and touches people's lives, a legacy where our children and our children's children will be able to continue to implement the things of God in this place and from this place. Our God is good. Our God is awesome. Hallelujah. I want to ask you to stand with me.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob again. I pray you enjoyed this podcast. What a blessing it has been to have you join us on this social media platform. If you would like more information about Bethel, please check out our website at bethelchurch.community. You can also follow us on our Facebook page at Bethel Church, Tepper's Plains. Have a blessed day, and remember, love never fails.